Okay, Bruchim Avayim, everybody. Welcome to the free Siyum HaShas program here at the NCSY Summer Kollel. I want to begin by the learning that we're about to do. Anton Shalom Gelfler, who's the yard site, for us here on the Kollel to celebrate the two beautiful, the Siyum HaShas, plus the other Siyum, the TJJ Siyum. Celebrated together in a few moments, an incredible accomplishment. Certainly be hearing about that more as the day progresses. Close friends likes to say that the Jewish heart has to be able to sometimes, at the same time, simcha on one side of it, then pain and anguish and mourning on the other side. And it's very fascinating. Whole kollel last night for the levaya of a siyum hashas about Torah that was learned is missing a lot of the study of Torah. Somewhat striking. And Schechter to share a few words with us of Hesped, if you will, about the life of Rabbi Yashiv and who Rabbi Yashiv was and what he meant to the Jewish people.
Many of you realize that Rabbi Yashiv lived in the Ashur. Usually in view, Be'er Sharon is like a different world, and the people in Be'er Sharon are in Medina. Everything is so different here in Be'er Sharon. When you talk about Rabbi Yashiv, you say, who do you think was Masada Kiddushin when he got married? Would you believe it? Rav Cook, when he got married, he died at the age of 102, so he got married probably over 80 years ago. So it was one big issue. Everybody talked to each other, had differences of opinion, but everybody talked to each other. It's not like now that this person came in that person's home, he came in his person, in his home. Nobody trusts anybody else. It wasn't that there was no Medina then. There was Talmid HaChacham, and he married, Rabbi Yashiv married the daughter of Rabbi Levine. Rabbi Levine was one of the biggest followers, one of the biggest chassidim of Rav Kook. So of course Rav Kook was Masada Kiddushin. What's the question? Rabbi Yashiv was not a politician. He wasn't Rav Kook. Learning in the Kollel before, when he was a teenager, I think they say, that he and Shlomo Zalman used to learn in the same place, Medrash. And sometimes when they would be lazy, and they thought they needed a little chizuk, so they'd go to Rav Kook's home and peek through the door to see the way he's sitting learning by his mother. And that would give them a chizuk that they should learn stroke. He was brought up at a time, 100 years ago, 80 years ago, he was brought up in time. No television, no football, no diversions. The only thing there is, the only entertainment there is Torah. So he sat there and he was intelligent, he was right. And from his whole group, when he first got married, his whole group, they were all learning in the Kollel. So they say that he was the only one. After he finished learning the Sugya, he would go through the tour in the Shulchan Aruch to see what's the maskana of the Gemara. How do you pass him out all the mice? And his chaverim, his contemporaries, all made fun of it. Well, you have to look at the Torah. That's yes, that's the rabbis. Just learn the Gemara, learn the next stuff. So the end of the story was that he had the last laugh. 60 years old, 70 years old, 80 years old, people had shaylos. He was the only one to know what was the maskana of the Gemara. A lot of times we learn Gemara, so we spend a lot of time on Beisham Hashit. Beisham Hashit, the El Beel Dibel Kimchat, means that you fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Study the opinions of Beisham, even though it's not accepted, Allah Lamaisa. But you have to keep in mind, it's not accepted, La Lada. So when the Shaila comes up, you have to pass like the Zillow, not like the fluff, not like all the fancy ideas that he said in the Beisham Hashita. A lot of times we spend a lot of time on the Tosfos, on the Rambam. That Tosfos came to explain Hashita of a Tana, or Hashita of an Amor, whose opinion is not accepted. Or the Rambam is entitled to his opinion, but very often we don't pass like the Rambam. We break our heads to try to understand the Rambam, but we have to keep in mind we don't pass them like the Rambam on this. That's because he spent a lot of time on something. There's a lot of fluff that is very fascinating. Doesn't mean we pass them like that. Rabbi Yashiv was a very private person. He never went for politics. He was never interested in taking a public stand on anything. He was not a philosopher. He was not a darshan. He just let me learn it more straight. One daf after the other daf after the other daf, and he always has it. Whenever he learned Gemara, he would always learn Pasuk Yishmael Tzali Medil. He said, what's the matzah? That's why for many, many years, that is in the Shaila. He was the first chief rabbi I've ever saw in recent years. He passed away over 10 years, he died in the 1930s, way before there was any Medina. The next chief rabbi was Rabbi Herz. So Rabbi Herz knew this young man. He appointed him to be a member of the Bezna at that time. He was a member of the top peasant of the Knesset Yisrael before it was Medina. He was there for years and years and years and years. As a member of the peasant, they had the Torah. The imamunas came up, the divorce cases came up, questions of alimony, do you have to pay ksuba? Is the husband obligated to support the children? And so on and so forth, all the issues came up. All the shaddas, and Ezekiel, and ksubas, and imamunas, all the shaddas that came up. He had a posse and all these things. He wasn't alone. He used to be together with Rav Herzog and the other rabbanim, all big Tamil Chachamim, all tzaddikim. This psalm is like all the decisions of the Supreme Court are all recorded. All of his psalm in the past are all recorded when he was in the rabbanut. He used to go to the Hechel Shlomo every day. He used to go to the building where the chief rabbinate was located every day. You're a rabbi for a community, or you're a rabbi for all of Eretz Yisrael. They have to give a psalm that people can live with. It can't always be machmir. That capacity for many, many, many years. The considerations whom you're dealing with, and all the different opinions in the poskim, so we'd always give a balance of psalm. Then there was one point in his life, he had to resign from his position. The whole hullabaloo here in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Gorin was the chief rabbi at that time, and he gave a difficult psak about Mount Zeris, and many, many of the rabbanim were very upset. So at that time, Yasha felt enough. He said, I don't want to fight with Rabbi Gorin. He didn't make a whole fuss about it. He retired from his position. Then when he was in retirement, but he knew so much Gemara, he knew so much Shulchan Aruch, so people continued to come to ask him Shabbos. After he was no longer officially the capacity of a dayan for Medina's Israel, anymore. He doesn't have the obligation to give a psak that they don't have to come to him. When he was officially a dayan in Bez and Elyon, but they had to come to him for a psak, and he had to give a psak that the people didn't live with. He's retired already. He said, have a prayer and not to come to ask him any shaylos. And then he became more machmir. He didn't change. He just an opinion. So why not go to him? He would always say, so why not go to him? So he was over that. The last years after he retired, it would always be machmir, because you have a choice. Don't come to ask any shaylos. And in any official capacity. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein passed away. And the New York Times, Rabbi Moshe Sherer, who was head of the Israel and America at that time, asked another Rabbi Moshe passed away, whom are you going to appoint to take over Rabbi Moshe's position? We don't appoint the God of Hador. Decided by consensus. We didn't appoint Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. There were many rabbis in the New York area, many rabbis in America. We had shaylos to all of them. And it turns out that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's answers, that's the way we can appoint another person to take this position. His will tell. I will tell who will. Rabbi Yashiv, after he retired, he wasn't in any official capacity, but everybody knew that he knew so much Gemara, he knew so much Shulchan Aruch. I visited Rabbi Yashiv twice. The first time I didn't speak to him, the first time was when I first visited Eretz Yisrael. I was married a few years, we didn't have any children. We came to visit Eretz Yisrael. Didn't ask him any shaylos, just gave regards from some relatives from America and China. But at that time, I remember he was very impressive. He was very tall and thin, walked straight, walking in the street, tall and thin, and he walked straight, healthy, healthy man. 4 years ago, I had a shaylos, so someone pressured me. I should go ask Rabbi Yashiv. The age of 98, he was, oh, that's a different question. It says over here, it says over there. He was Mamash on the pole, because he was always learning Gemara, he was always chazaring Shulchan Aruch. That's the lesson that we have to learn from him. Don't get involved in any politics. He was not interested in being a public figure. He didn't like to talk in public. He was a very private person. Other rabbonim, you know, the homes are open, and the young type of rabbi that comes to visit them. He was the boys from the NCSY group, so he used to go visit Rabbi Nassim Zvi. He used to go visit Rabbi Scheinberg, another rabbi. He used to go visit the rabbi. He never went to visit Rabbi Yashiv all the years, even when he was only 90 years old. But then he retired. He wanted to go follow in his ways and just learn and not get involved in politics.
Okay, moving on to the next part of the program. Compared to the pre-Daf Yomi, the pre-Siyum HaShas that we're celebrating here at the Kol, so a couple of questions that we wanted Rav Shefter to respond to in conjunction related to this wonderful Siyum that we're going to experience shortly. Certainly the institution of Daf Yomi, to learn one Daf a day, over the last 50 years, at least by the numbers of people attending each Siyum HaShas, so it seems that more and more people are studying the Daf Yomi, the daily, one Daf a day, 7.5 year cycle to complete the entire Shas. And again, the celebration cannot be underestimated by how much Torah people are learning. What we wanted the Rebbe to respond to is what are the benefits of the study of the Daf HaYomi? Seeing the accomplishments of all of the thousands and thousands of people throughout the world who have started and have been learning the Daf HaYomi, does that mean each of us should now drop whatever we're doing and run to go study Daf HaYomi specifically? Is Daf HaYomi for everybody? And maybe just to give us a little overview on the pros and if there are any other perspectives on the study of Daf HaYomi.
I was told by Chassidish Rebbe, who was a Talmud in Lubliny Yeshiva, at the time that Rabbi Shapira instituted the Daf HaYomi, many of the Rabbanim at that time, many of the Chassidish were very opposed to the Daf HaYomi, because there was no television, there were no movies, there were no other diversions, and they had seen used to learn more than a plaque or a day. This is going to be the utter destruction of Neiman HaTor. It's enough to learn one plaque or a day. What are the Balabatim going to do? They can learn 4 plaques, 5 plaques, they do it to learn. It's going to be the utter destruction of Torah. Maybe in that generation it was the destruction of Torah, but as it turns out, the Daf HaYomi saved a lot of learning. Got people who would otherwise not have learned the word to learn a little bit, at least in Daf HaYomi. A lot of people are opposed to people of Daf HaYomi because how can a person absorb a whole block Gemara in 1 hour or 45 minutes? So live one ear and not the other, how much can you remember? I remember years ago, he used to be a retired painter. Lived on Pennant Avenue. He was a member of Roya's community. When he retired, he used to come to Yeshiva every day. He attended my shiur. He used to have another retired balabas who used to sit in my class, also from Roya's community. He used to work in the post office. He used to sit in my class. He knew the kids of Shulchan Aruch by heart. He learned with Harusa with a young boy. He was over 65, learned with Harusa with an 18-year-old boy. And then during the shiur, he would give a commentary. He would raise his hand and say, but the kids of Shulchan Aruch says not so. They all pilfered. He said, but the kids of Shulchan Aruch says that. He knew the kids of Shulchan Aruch by heart. This retired painter didn't say who. So I didn't know whether he understood the shiur or not. So I always done a mincha after the shiur with my students. And then I stayed to learn in the base Spanish in the afternoon. One day I had to go home after mincha. So I was walking together with this retired painter to Bennett Avenue. I was embarrassed to ask him, but he brought up the subject. He says, you may wonder what I get out of the shiur. So he says, you know, in the Russian army, you had to know the names of all the generals. Yes, you. Who's the chief general? Who's the lieutenant? Who's the colonel? So he says, he comes to the shiur to hear the names of the generals. The Rashba, the Ritva, the Rambach, the Rambach, Abai, Robert, the Nurik, the Nazar. That's all he gets out of the shiur. So there's some people who learn Daf HaYomi, and that's all they get out of it. And for some people, that's of value. They learn the names of the generals. And the Russian army kind of know the names of all the brothers. Okay? That's also Madregan. You learn a little history of the Jewish people. You get to learn who were the Abai the Rabbah were Amoroi. Rabbi was the first generation of Amoroi. He spoke to Rabbi Yudam Nasi, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yudam, same generation. You get a little insight into Jewish history, who were the Tanoi, who were the Amoroi, which Tanoi were together, which Amoroi were together, who lived in a different city. So you get a little bit, even though everything goes in one ear and out the other, you get a little insight into Jewish history. That's of value also. Important to have a perspective on Jewish history. You get to learn terms. Yesh Breyer and Breyer. You may forget what all the time I say, but at least you'll remember what the topic of Breyer is. Shiva Nechassim, Shiva Rabuk, Shiva Nechassim, Shiva Adaraisim, Shiva Adaraisim. Even if the learning does go in one ear and not the other, still, you'll pick up certain topics. Yeshiva was a not happy style that we have in the yeshivas now, and all the yeshivas that have two different siddurim and learning. One seder is Be'il, and one seder is Be'kiyas. Seder is Be'il, you go slowly, and you try to understand all the different opinions. And the seder is Be'kiyas, you just got to quickly Gemara and Rashi. See, he was not happy with that. He thought we should find a happy balance. When he gave the shiur, which was Be'il, he didn't cover all the Rishonim. Interested in Gemara, Rashi, Tesis, and the Rambam, and that's all. Once in a while, there's a famous Rambam. Once in a while, there's a famous Rosh Bor. Once in a while, there's a famous Rosh. And in general, he was just interested in the Gemara, Rashi, Tesis, and the Rambam, and he said that we have their opinion on all of Shas. When he learned, I was in the shiur, he was already an older person. Before my time, he covered 60 blocks a year. So he only covered 40 blocks a year. In the 45 year, he would learn the Eon. So he understood we should have another Seder afternoon. He didn't think it made sense to learn the same thing all day and all night. that three sidur that day in the same kippah, it's gonna break on our nerves. It's gonna cause us to be annoyed. So you should learn something else for diversion. You should learn something else in the afternoon, learn something else in the night, and learn something else in the afternoon. Also learn 40 plot or 60 plot. Even hatred, not hatred, like now. They learn one plot all year, a 10 plot all year. He thought that was utterly ridiculous. 50 plot a year in the afternoon, say 50 plot a year in the night, say it. Should be just the key of tomorrow with Rashi. We fully understand it. A lot of times it's Rashi that is incomprehensible. And you shouldn't just learn the kids of tomorrow with Rashi. And you should try to learn with all the Rishayim. That's the Eden like the system. We have all the yeshivas, that we have a Seder in Eon where we go slower. The Seder in the kids we go faster. He thought that the Eon and the kids should be blended in together. It should be so slow, the kids shouldn't be so fast. And all the three Siddharas during the course of the day. If you have all day long free to learn, we do have a Seder in Eon and a separate Seder in the kids. It's just going to go in one ear and out the other. Even if it does go in one ear and out the other. But the Rabbanim used to point out, it's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. It's one of the wonderful things that a person is able to do. It says in the Mishnah, Machsharta liyos tzadik v'chassid v'yana. How do you translate the word Machsharta? This will purify him to become a big tzadik. So Rav Chaim Volozhin has an interpretation on the word Machsharta upon on the Yiddish. When you have a trefa kli in this week's Sedra, it talks about Kasher and trefa kelim. They play midyot. The Jewish army captured the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. They captured from the beyond all the trefa pots and places. They had a kasher. Had a do hagolas. So when you take a trefa pot and you put it in burning hot water, the whole trefa bleed was through. So the hagolas will accomplish to cause the trefa bleed to go out. The pot will become kosher. So the Rabbi Elojan said, if a person learns 30 minutes to go, and it goes in one ear and out the other, but when it's going through your mind, it kashers out the mind. Whatever impure thoughts you have, it will kasher out your mind. That's wonderful, at least if it goes in one ear and out the other. Sometimes people learn Daf Yomi so quickly, or sometimes people learn a Bikita Seder so quickly, it doesn't even have a chance to go in one ear and out the other. Now you're in front of you. So for some people, Daf Yomi would be a disaster. It's not the many shuls, you have to finish the Daf in 45 minutes. Wouldn't be such a bad idea. In yeshivas, where the boys have a Seder in the morning for you. Wouldn't be so terrible to have a Seder in the afternoon or a Seder at night to learn Daf Yomi. Just 2-3 hours on the Daf Yomi. This fashion, not just with Rashi. Maybe we shouldn't learn all the Tosfos. Stifler has one of his stories. He gives you guidelines how a person should learn the Gemara. He says, the first time you're learning a Masechta, someone who knows it already, which are the important Tosfos? Sometimes there's a Tosfos that's just full of history. And they come to the conclusion there are two Rabbah Barbahman. So the two Rabbah Barbahman, okay. Akir Kishk is that. You're not willing to learn the first time you learn the Masid. You're not willing to learn it. The halacha, what the Gemara is talking about. Okay, so you learn that historical test. A lot of times there's a test, there's a kasha. And then they say, you misunderstood the other Gemara. It should tip you off before. Nothing to do with our Gemara. Our Gemara reads straight. There's another Gemara that somehow somebody, one of the students of the Balai test, misread, but you're not learning the other Gemara. So someone should tip you off in advance. Don't spend time on that test. That test has to do with the different Masid. The stipler recommends the first time you learn a Masid, someone who knows it well should check off which are the important tests and which ones you can skip the first time. A lot of times when we learn the Rambam Soloveitchik's class, Kasha, murderous Kasha, good Kasha, Rambam Soloveitchik would say, this Kasha doesn't bother me. What Kasha doesn't bother me is a murderous Kasha. It doesn't bother me now. Next time we'll talk about it. You don't have to cover every single Kasha. You just have to figure out what's the pshat. What does Rav Meir say? What does Rav Yudah say? What does Abai say? What does Rabbah say? How did Rashi read it? How did Tosfos read it? How did he pass on Allah? It's the two Daf Yomi and all the yeshivas. You spend 45 minutes on it. And it may even be less than going in one ear and out the other ear. People your age, you're not holding by retiring yet. It would be a good idea if you would have a Daf Yomi Seder every day. That wouldn't have to cover everything being moved. You shouldn't go too fast. Yomi is clearly not for everyone. They have a certain minimum background. Every Daf Gemara, there are 1,001 dinim. You're not knowledgeable. If you don't know more Gemara, you'll only see 10 dinim on the page. The more you know, you'll be like, hey, the Gemara took a stand on this, the Gemara took a stand on that. Did you notice that Rashi, a lot of times, the more Gemara you know, so the more you realize, whoa, Rashi put in a word there. I never realized that. A Tosfos will formulate their position in a certain way. It's slowly and carefully. The more Gemara you know, so the more you realize that there are more than 10 dinim on every page. You'll realize that if you really know a lot more, you realize that there are 1,001 dinim on every page. Daf Yomi is not for everyone. But it's the two dinim only achievements, but for a couple of hours a day.
One of the things that we are celebrating with the see him is obviously the incredible amount of hours and the much, very, very hard work that the study of all of Shas requires. I think many people struggle with the fact that learning in general is very difficult, and the study of Gemara, particularly, can be exceedingly difficult, especially when someone begins. Can Rebbe comment a little bit about the difficulty involved in the study of Torah in general, perhaps the study of Gemara particularly, and how can someone who is feeling, maybe looking at the siyumim of the Daf Yomi and saying, for me to get through one Amud, one blot, five blot is so difficult as it is, how could I ever dream, and maybe even could be discouraged by a Siyum HaShas because of the level of difficulty involved in learning, and perhaps particularly the level of difficulty involved in the study of Gemara.
I think every discipline is self-contained. It has its own particular, unique logic. You can't use common sense in chemistry and physics. You can't use common sense in medicine and biology. You have to know the discipline is self-contained. Common sense doesn't always help. This chemical is red. How can it be if you mix it together and explode? Because it has its own style of logic. It's computing logic. Common sense often plays a role, and often does not play a role. It's a self-contained, and you have to pick up the logic of studying Talmud. Talmud is that the Talmud is written in Aramaic. We don't speak Aramaic. There are several non-Jewish countries here in the Middle East, but the non-Jewish people speak Aramaic, so for them it would be easier to study. The Gemara is written in Aramaic. We don't speak. That's not our mother tongue. You have to overcome that. Okay, you have to pick up Aramaic or study with a Jastra. Once you pick up this style of, it's not so easy to pick up. It's hard to break into the system to figure out what the self-contained logic is. Once you are given how to approach Gemara, what the logic is, it follows automatically. Gemara has a famous comment that some people have more time on their hands to learn, some people have less time. People who work on the farm, so they have little time in the course of the day to learn. The Rabbanim who sit and learn all day long, they have more time. So the Gemara has more quotes in Mishnah, the other others. Everyone has an obligation to learn to the best of their ability, to spend as much time as they can. People have to figure out, are they cut out for learning or not? Everyone is cut out a little bit for learning. When we daven in the Shemoneh Esrei every day, we say the tefillah that appears in Pirkei Avos. Everybody has a chelek in Torah. Some people have a larger chelek, some people have a smaller chelek, but everybody has a chelek in Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Jewish soul in such a way that we all have a chelek in Torah. Able to have a larger chelek, busy making a living all day long, and we only have a little time. But the world doesn't come to an end. We all try to the best of our ability. Study as much Gemara as we can. We shouldn't feel upset that we can't cover it, we can't learn as much as the big time, okay?
Related to this question, there are many, many people who use the art scroll Gemara to go through Daf Yomi. There are many yeshivos that discourage kids from using an art scroll Gemara. On the other hand, the art scroll clearly makes learning perhaps a lot easier and can allow a person to cover more ground. I ask permission to share this brief little vignette in my introduction from Rabbi Sabolovsky. Rabbi Sabolovsky was a few years ahead of me in yeshiva. Without saying too much, let's just say he was already a legend at a very young age in YU. And part of the lore behind the legend of Rabbi Sabolovsky is it was known that when he was much younger, I'm not sure how many people here are familiar with the Sansino Gemara, but before there was art scroll, for those of us who may remember, there was something called Sansino, which was an English Gemara, basically a lot less involved and a lot less explanation, almost very, very little explanation, but it was the text of the Gemara in English. And Rabbi Sabolovsky, I believe I confirmed with him this morning, in the eighth grade, when he was trying to figure out the Sefer Bava Kamma, and he had a lot of difficulty with it, so he would sit and read through the entire Sansino, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. You could ask him about this, but he actually completed Yosef's Bava Kamma by reading the whole thing in the Sansino. That was the precursor to the Daf Yomi Siyam that we're celebrating, the Siyam Hashas from this afternoon. So the question is, what should be our perspective on study of Gemara with our scroll? How much should we use it? Should we use it at all? Is it a good thing for the Jewish people? Is it not a good thing? What are Rebbe's comments on the use of our scroll?
If the Sansino made Rabbi Sabalovsky Sakakalochenim, the art school can make us. But the person is first beginning, and he doesn't know what the words mean, and he doesn't know Talmudic logic, so he needs a little help. What are you going to look up every sentence? Going to look it up in a Jastros? Did they look it up already? The art school people looked it up already. Style of the Talmud, you pick up the language, and then you'll see on your own that you don't need the art school. You won't need public. It got so many tens of thousands of people who would have otherwise not been able to open any more at all. Got all these people to give the shiur to the Daf Yomi. Because they use the art school, they're able to give the shiur to explain it to other people. People have the opportunity to attend the shiur. They would never be able to understand the shiur if they wouldn't be able to have the art school. It's Gevaldik. People use it as a crutch and they're going to use it forever. Why shouldn't the shiur use it forever? Picks up an app by reading Aramaic. Why? What does it need the translation for? It'll come to some passage in the Gemara. Gemara's going to have a difficult word you've never heard of before. So then we'll look it up in the art scroll. He won't need the art scroll. Look it up in the Jastro. Look it up in the dictionary. Hey, what's so big? Maybe you're in education. Maybe you see differently. Hey, if the person starts with the art scroll, the first 20 years of use art scroll, they'll see he doesn't need it anymore. After 20 years of learning with art scroll, see, then he can read the Gemara for Rabbi Zablowski.
Just as a follow-up, so is the Rebbe saying the giving out should be encouraging the kids in the shiur when the Rebbe's teaching that everyone should have an art scroll in case they should be able to follow along and look up things that they need.
Students in every high school, in every class in every high school, are on a different level. So those students are on a level that they need an art scroll. So the school should supply them with a copy of the art school. Should encourage the parents of those students that want to, they should buy their children an art scroll. Remember when I was in first year high school, the Rebbe thought that I was very brilliant, so he told my father, he just taught Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. We learned 40 blocks of Bava Kamma. Just learned all the Tosfos. He told my father that I'm very talented, he should buy me an extra sefer. So he told my father, he should buy me a Me'iri on Bava Kamma. The Me'iri still remains untouched by human hands. It's sitting on my shelf from the first year of high school. I was interested in extra. I learned Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. I was happy enough. I didn't mean any Me'iri. If you have students who need an art scroll, so we recommend to their parents that should buy them an art scroll. Sometimes maybe the whole class should use an art scroll if they're just beginners. If you have a class where many of the students already know how to read Aramaic, they know how to read Gemara, you reach a certain point. You have to start from nothing, then you reach a certain point where the students are able to read Gemara. It doesn't make sense to recommend they should have an art scroll. I don't see what's wrong.
The incredible scene that we're about to experience is a scene on Shas, the study of Gemara. It would seem that in the overwhelming majority of the yeshivas in the world, the study of Gemara is really the central focus of study. It's clearly that way in terms of the time that's put in yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, yeshivas in America, wherever you look. Gemara really is the discipline, the part of the study of Torah that most people put their efforts and energies into. Could the Rebbe comment for us, number one, why is this so? Why do the yeshivas spend so much time on Gemara? What is it specifically about Gemara that is so attractive to so many yeshivas and so fundamental, and it would seem that in many, many yeshivas, the study of Gemara really outshines and supplants really the study of almost anything else. Why is it that way? Does the Rebbe think that's a good thing? And are there any other factors to consider when one is thinking about how to budget his time in terms of what should be the time allotted to various areas of the study of Torah?
Believe it or not, studying the Chumash is also a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Believe it or not. Even believe it or not, studying the legal Chumash, Yisya HaKadosh are an integral part. They're 24 Svarim. Unfortunately, the way things developed in Europe, the Second World War, that the religious Jews ran away from. So one was the study of Tanakh, Loshna Kodesh. The Muslim and Arab Rabban Zionists. This is because the Apikursim, the Maskilim, is a Zionist movement, and they were interested in establishing a Medina that should replace the religion. That's not by interpretation, that's explicit. Take the place of the Jewish religion, so we won't need the religion anymore. So us in Lover, when we come to Israel, we won't have to fulfill any mitzvahs anymore. Because once you have the Medina, so you don't need any mitzvahs. You have to fear Zionists. Also a question, what does that mean? This tale is also a question. That's why one of the prominent rabbis, Abdullah Meir Bloch, he wrote such a letter many years ago, which is that the religious Jews ran away from Zionism because Apikursim wanted to do away with the religion. Apikursim were studying Tanakh and neglecting the Gemara. So the religious Jews ran away from Tanakh, and they didn't want to speak Hebrew because the Apikursim were writing essays in Hebrew, Achad Ha'am and all of his Chalerim. These were anti-religious people. These were Apikursim. So the religious Jews ran away from all three. So Rabbi Meir Bloch writes, it's not right. Eretz Yisrael is part of the Jewish religion, but taken in the context, in proper context. 613 mitzvahs with a lot of them. Not the most important mitzvahs, not more important than Shabbos and Kashrus and Tarek significant role. Speaking Loshna Kodesh is one of the mitzvahs. The Rambam writes on the Mishnah, have deserved the mitzvah Kavah Tevach Hamura. He examined the mitzvah Kavah and Tavuk Loshna Kodesh. And Tanakh is also a mitzvah. He studied properly, according to the tradition. Before 100 years before the Maskil would say this, they killed him, and the religious Jews ran away from the Tanakh. Yeshivas in Europe, there weren't so many yeshivas. Yeshivas in Europe, the emphasis was on Gemara because they would come and they would learn Gemara quickly. So the Gemara, in the Talmud says, the Gemara, it's all there. The Gemara covers Tanakh. Gemara says in Kiddushin, the first paragraph, you should try to have balanced learning. Spend one third of your time learning Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Mishnah Mitzvah, Allah Maisa, and Shlish B'Gemara means pilpul, in order to learn how to derive the dinim. From the Chumash, and how to derive the dinim from the Mishnah, and so on. And Tam says that this man is the Ashkenazim don't spend any time studying Tanakh. You study Gemara all the time. The Gemara quotes somebody psukim from Tanakh, so well, you had to the Shlish from Mikra. Well, we study Gemara. Gemara has Ashkafe, Gemara has Parshan and Samitre, and the Gemara has Psak Halach, and the Gemara has Pilpul, and the Gemara has everything. That's all by Medvar Mamur, but if you learn 10 black Gemara a day, you learn 10 lines a day, you're not going to, a lot of times 10 lines a day, you're not going to, you won't even quote any pasuk at all. You won't have any halacha psuk at all, just a obscure svara that Tos is trying to discuss. You can spend the whole day analyzing some obscure svara of a bala Tosis. There won't be any halacha, there won't be any tarach. You know, they practice what they learned a lot. Rav Kook learned in Balazs, so he used to learn 60 blot a day, 6-0. They learned less than 60 blot. Cover a lot of ground. Even Rav Arbeer, famous Rav Arbeer, gave shiurim, and he learned the Yilim. But when he was in America for a year, he covered all of Kachin, and he wrote notes. He wrote Chiddush Torah, all of Kachin. When he was learning on his own, when he gave the shiurim in Yeshiva, he went slowly, but it was self-understood. The boys had to cover all the sifta on their own. Misunderstanding is if Rav Arbeer only learned the 10 blot in the Mesifta. He learned all the Sifta. He only gave shiurim on 10 blot in the Sifta. Quickly also, all the Rabbanim used to learn. They didn't all learn 60 blot, 60 blot a day, but they learned. Very unfortunate, we have a lot of people who know how to learn very well, but they don't know Chumash. They don't know the Pasuk, they don't know what Parsha the Pasuk comes from. You have to know Chumash, you have to know Navi also, you have to know the Nevi Ksuvim. A lot of times the answer to your question appears explicitly in the Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim. Many of us never even heard that Divrei HaYomim is part of the Kisra Kodesh. A history book. The Rayyam is in Tanakh. And the answers to a lot of our questions are there to perish. So, Lord, I remember seeing Rabbi Moshe Feinstein in the summertime, Kazri Tanakh. He used to walk on the highway. On some occasion, he used to walk on the highway, along with his wife. He was a little short, and his wife was a little taller than him. His wife was a head taller than he was. So, it was like a mother and a son. It looks like she was the mother, he was the son. So, walking arm in arm, and he had a little Tanakh in his hand, in his left hand. And she would make sure that in case there's a car coming, she would pull him to the side and she would get run over. He used to chaz a Tanakh all the time. He used to chaz a Gemara all the time. He used to chaz a Gemara. So you have to learn all the time. He can't really understand Gemara. A lot of the expressions of the Gemara, the terminology, you have to know, where did they get that lashon from? Not all the expressions in the Gemara come from the Chumash. Even if your mother said every week, you may not realize that Nevi Maksum are also part of Tanakh. A lot of Talmudic expressions come from Navi. It's an old system, but we cover everything. In Yeshiva, the emphasis, they only studied Gemara, but they covered so much Gemara in a day, so they had Hashkafa, they had Psak Halacha, they had Pilpul Shoter, the Shlishma Mikvah, Shlishma Mishnah, Shlishma Dalet. But the way we learn the Yeshivas, one Taisus a day, we don't have any Shlishma Mikvah, we don't have any Shlishma Mishnah. The balance today might mean that whenever you come to a sugya, the student should be encouraged to look at it, Encyclopedia Talmud did, and to read the whole lesson on the topic, so they'll have a broad picture of what's going on. Just read five lines in your Gemara, you might not even understand what the whole context is. That's the job of the Rebbe. The Rebbe should read the Encyclopedia Talmud. He should give the presentation. The Rebbe doesn't need the Encyclopedia Talmud. Maybe the Rebbe could write the essay for the Talmud. Okay. The Rebbe didn't have to teach in such a way to give a broad background. Rebbe Soloveitchik, when he gave the shiur, always used to give background. This starts from the Chumash. The Chumash said this. And then the Torah Shabbat has a deal, kind of a certain phrase. First, they give the background that everybody agrees to. After presenting what everybody agrees to, whenever there's a machlokes in the Gemara, it means that they agree to 1,000 other things. They argue about one thing they agree to. So what are the 1,000 things that they agree to? The first thing we give it back to what they agree to. He said, now, place it in a proper perspective. Now what are they disagreeing about? Oh, they're disagreeing about the definition of a certain part of the din. The din is a statement of the din. They argue, what does this phrase mean? To place everything in the proper perspective by having a broad background. Just by learning a little bit of Gemara, you're not going to have that. It says you have to have, the mikvah means it should be the proper context. You have to know where the pasuk is in Chumash. You have to know what Torah Shabbat Peh, how the Torah Shabbat Peh read in between the lines of the pasuk, and then to see who's the only one in his chabura. He insisted whenever he finished the Gemara. We go through the Torah of Eseris and the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says the highest level of learning is to learn. Oh, you could turn to become a rabbi. That's the lowest level. Rabbi, the lowest level. It's the highest level. He knows the Gemara, and he knows which parts of the Gemara we pass in line, and which parts are just pilpul. We don't pass in line.
The style of study in many yeshivos, I imagine many of the people who study Daf Yomi, thousands and thousands of people will be gathering for the Daf Yomi Siyam. Many of them went to a shir, they had a Rebbe who taught them. In many of the yeshivas, the style is at least part of the process is charusa. The Gemara talks about o charusa, o misusa. The Gemara talks about the importance of learning with charusa. Could Rebbe speak to us about why it is that the yeshivas have developed this method of many times people learning with charusa? Is that the only way to do it? Why is that so much better than a person learning on his own? And to what degree is there a relationship or an interrelationship between one learning with a chavrusa and also learning from a Rebbe? Does one need both? And to what degree should one be learning more from a Rebbe or learning more from a chavrusa? And is there any place for a person to learn on his own without a Rebbe and without a chavrusa?
I remember I was once on vacation in the summertime in a hotel where all the boys from Lakewood used to go. There was one boy who was learning on his own in the dark, and he was managed holding by the end. He was ready to make decisions in the last 5 o'clock when he was sitting. He was mispronouncing one of the words. He didn't know that the word is Orus. I'm saying Eros. He didn't have a chavrusa and he didn't have a Rebbe. No one ever told him how to pronounce the word. He told him not making a scene. We didn't know how to pronounce it. That's terrible. You have to have a Rebbe. The traditions, much of the greatness of Rabbi Yashin was that he lived so long, so these shaylas keep on recurring. So he remembered where Rabbi Zalman Paskin 80 years ago. I remember where Rabbi Professor Frank Paskin 80 years ago. He lived through all of it. People will live to a ripe old age, but they don't, and they want to go to university later. They don't have to take courses in world history. They lived through it. They can tell you the world history. They lived through the First World War, the Second World War, and the Korean War, and the Cambodian War, whatever they lived through. So Rabbi Yashin lived through a lot of these shaylas. He remembered this wasn't the first time the shayla came up. So you have to have a Rebbe to have a tradition. Tradition will teach you how to pronounce the words. Sometimes tradition has it that we mispronounce the words, and that's not. A lot of times in the yeshivas they pronounce it shirtut. You know, the rabbi said that you have to have shirtut. Station is shirtut. The Mishnah says chai bottom line of Loshon Rabbi. You have to say over exactly verbatim you heard from a Rebbe. So there's a machlokes on that Mishnah. But the Chai Bala Lama Prasham even means you have to mispronounce the words like the Rebbe mispronounced the words. Oh no. We usually sound like the Lundagon. Lundagon says that's ridiculous. Chai Bala Lama Prasham doesn't mean you have to mispronounce the words. If your Rebbe mispronounced, like Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to mispronounce the word. In English he would say subtraction. Students say subtraction. All of the students say subtraction. They don't mispronounce. He would mispronounce He would stutter and mispronounce certain Hebrew words. None of the students, we all follow the Vilna Gaon. You don't tie on to Torah, doesn't apply to mispronounce a word in Hebrew or in English. But you have to have traditions. You have to have a rabbi with traditions. You have a tradition, you don't pass like that. You have a tradition, you do pass like that. There are traditions on everything. It's important to have a rabbi. It's important to have a harusa, but they were throughout all the generations. There were girls who learned without harusa, the Hazarish. Much of his time learned without harusa. He learned with Svarim. You look in the Pliny Shua, you look in the Chandra Shleiman, you look in the Achrayim, you look in the Shulchanos. He had the harusas. You learn and you look at all the different sources. That is the harusa. You have to bounce your ideas off of other people. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein is someone that is a rabbi in the Washington Heights area. Some of you may know Rabbi Yosef Lerner. So he told me he was once on vacation. That same hotel where all the guys from Lakewood used to go on vacation. Rabbi Moshe got a shaila that morning. They sent him a telegram that was from South America, some complicated about Bamzeris. So Rabbi Moshe asked him after Shacharis, come, I had a difficult shaila, can you please come after breakfast? I'd like to discuss the shaila with you. And he was my Rabbi Moshe, Rabbi Moshe discussed the shaila with him. So he came after breakfast. They said, Rabbi Moshe started to rattle off. The Mishnah says, and the Gemara says, and the Rambam says, and the Rashba says, he didn't give him a chance to say a word. Rabbi Moshe was bouncing everything off. He said this and this and therefore this and therefore that and therefore 20 minutes and therefore the dinner's like this. Correct? Rabbi Moshe used to do that all the time. He used to have it in third. So he used to sometimes have two bottles in his yeshiva. He would do the third one. And he would start making mathematical calculations. The guy worked in the summer camp part of the time and he quit in the middle and he didn't do such a good job and the full salary should have been this and he got prorated. Blah, 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 blah. And he made the whole calculation and he told us the other two guys, correct? Don't they say correct? You need a human being to bounce it off of someone else. It doesn't mean necessarily that it's a harusa, that there's a give and take. You have to bounce it off someone. If it doesn't make sense, the other guy's going to say it doesn't make sense. A person is going to learn on his own, he can make a lot of mistakes. But if you're learning with Svarim, so the Svarim are going to point that. Halach, you cannot say because that's a beferishit gemara someone else. In this route, you can't say because it's a beferishit gemara someone else. It's very interesting. So the kachim, we don't have too many rishayim, just the gemara rashi and Tosfos. You don't have too much. In the recent Svarim, you have the Chazanish on Kochim, you have Rabbalabala Soloveitchik has on Kochim, and you have the Keren Neura has on Kochim, and the Mikdash David has on Kochim. And very often, they all four come to the same conclusion. They all point out all wrongs. You have a complicated, and the Pshat can't be this because of Akmar. Pshat can't be that because of Akmar. So all four, the Keren Neura with the Mikdash David, they all say, you gotta squeeze, you gotta say, Pshat is like this. That was the chavrusa that they had. You look at all the gemaras. You look at whatever svarim you have. A lot of times, we don't know all the gemaras. We don't know all the svarim. They need a living chavrusa to discuss it with. The Catholic cardinals, who visit the yeshiva every year, they have a problem. According to the rabbis, they have a problem that in Europe, whoever goes to university isn't interested. Somehow, when you go to university, your eyes are opened up, your mind is opened up to what's happening in the world, and there's a whole world of chachma, mada, and that their religion doesn't make any sense. So they were surprised. How come here in Yeshiva University they have college classes and theological studies in the same classroom? How can it be that it's not a contradiction? They came up with a suggestion. The thing that they're missing that we have that they don't have is the Harusa system. But it's the Harusa system. How does it work? And they want to introduce it in their theological seminars to save their religion. Because no one wants, anyone who goes to university doesn't want to become a god. Here in Yeshiva announced that one morning, I always used to sit around 10:30, and then we go home to have a late breakfast. That morning, Rabbi Yeshiva announced that these cardinals are coming in, everyone should mind their own business, don't carry on any conversations. Let them walk, let them talk, let them do whatever they want. You don't have to talk to them. So the boys were learning, and two boys were fighting with each other. You mean each other? You don't know what you're talking about. Like Kamusa's talk. So one of these got luck and taps one of the boys on the shoulder. The guy was stunned. He turns up and he said, what's going on here? Galach says, why are you screaming at your study partner? To explain to him in plain English. We have a commandment, we have to study the Torah. And everything has to make sense. And if we study a passage in Talmud, it makes sense. We're supposed to ask questions. It has to make sense. So my study partner gave a suggestion, and I don't agree. It's not the correct interpretation, so we can't accept what he said. We have to search for the truth. We have to find a better explanation. So that's what we're arguing about, whether this interpretation is good. But the Galach blurted out, ooh, in our religion, we're not allowed to ask any questions. Exactly, not allowed to ask any questions. The Harusa is in order to find out, in order to bounce your ideas off of someone else, to see, maybe you're creeping up the glide of them, maybe you know what you're talking about. You have to bounce your ideas off of someone else. The Harusas have to be militant. Gemara in the pasuk Parshas Chukas. How does it go? Ken Yavah the Sefer Melchamas Hashem es vahet besufa. That's on the Kolam Arnim. The Gemara says the Sefer Melchamas Hashem is when the father and the son, the Rebbe and the student are learning. It's like a Melchama. They're fighting with each other, insulting each other, they're abusive to each other. Your child is not correct. They're trying to search for the truth, and they bounce it off of each other, and the student is going to be disrespectful to the Rebbe, the son is going to be a little disrespectful to the father, because he doesn't agree with the father's pshat. But then after they finish learning, that's going to be as for Hebe Suvah, there's going to be Ahav on the end. It's interesting, and they have a little book for young children about the miracle of the Hatzolah of the Mir Yeshivas. How they were saved, how they went on the Transcontinental Railroad to Vladivostok, and they went to Japan, and they went to Shanghai. Whole stories. It's fantastically fascinating. So they have such a little book for little children. So they have one chapter. There was when they went on the Transcontinental Railroad to Vladivostok, it was not a chartered train. They had a lot of non-Jewish passengers also. So one of the Polish goyim who was on the train wrote memoirs, and they were published and published. Many years ago, someone translated that section of the memoirs that were about the trip with Yeshiva Bar, translated that into English, and they included it in the book. So he writes, these people were obviously Jewish. There was no secret about that. They had these big books. He didn't know what the big books were. They had the big books, and the big books were open. They were so abusive to each other. They were so insulted with his yaitis. What are you talking about? You're a pyre. You're a farmer. You're an idiot. And then, the minute they closed the books, they were the best of friends. So the guy writes, he couldn't figure out what's going on. That's exactly what the Gemara says. When the big books are open, you have to argue with each other to see whether your pshat makes sense. You have to bounce it off of someone else. Blood human being in front of you. Be more careful with what you say. He also did like that. Can't have a psak. And he would bounce it off of someone else. He would not give any input at all. But he needed someone to talk to, just to express his thoughts to a human being. He recited his thoughts.
I'd like to thank Shafter very, very much for giving us a beautiful introduction. We want all our appetites to see him, and as the Rebbe said, hopefully we could all be inspired by the prelude and the seeing itself to take upon ourselves and to continue ourselves to grow in all areas of the study of the Torah.
Start the